I am going to continue somewhat with what we started out with this morning, but I'm going to be going a little bit further than where we were at. This morning we talked about being thankful for everything we have, to be thankful for health, to be thankful for the relationships we have, for our families, for our businesses, for our jobs, for whatever it is that God has given you. That's important for us to be thankful. That it's in the thankfulness that we express towards God for the things that He has blessed us with that increase comes about. No matter how small what you might have right now is, it has the potential for continued increase in the latter days. If you think about it for a moment, you see an oak tree out there. That oak tree did not just show up. It showed up from a little acorn that meant very little. And that oak tree went through a series of experiences, and during those experiences, as it survived and went through them, became this oak tree that is now noticed. You may seem so small and so insignificant that you might think of yourself that you don't count, but that's not really true. Every one of us counts in the body of Christ. Everything that we do counts. Everything that we do is important. You are part of a solution in progress. And we need to be very thankful for each one, for everything that we have, because God being glorified causes God to release more into our lives. God celebrated is important. Your life celebrated is important. We need to celebrate each other with thanksgiving. And as I shared this morning, when people were not thankful, they ended up in a sorry situation. They lost out. People that are thankful get to forge on and experience life to the full. But the danger that we face is that sometimes we think that thankfulness means stagnancy. That we think that because I am thankful, I do not desire change. No, that's not what God is talking about. What God is talking about is be thankful for the moment, but also experience the desire for the greater. If you stop dreaming and if you stop hoping, then you lose out completely on what God has for you and for me. God does not call us to stagnancy. God calls us to continued flow. Amen? Stagnant water will always stink. And when we are stagnant, because we say we are thankful and we're just stagnant, then we lose our sense of hope and direction, guidance, and victory. Celebrate this moment. Be thankful for this moment, but expect more. Amen? Do you understand? Once you stop expecting more, you cease to continue in thanksgiving. And that is a problem. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. God is a God who has finished. But many times we get stuck in progress. It's not that there's no progression in the things of God. The Word of God is full of progression. We change from victory to victory. line upon line, precept upon precept. There is change and there's progression in the things of God. But when you live your life just based on, I'm in a process, you will never arrive. You have to think, I have arrived because God has finished it. You have to have that, but also be patient when you're going through the process, knowing that it is finished, that you'll arrive at the end. So it's both. But when you say it is finished, you can become stagnant. You get stuck in a routine and nothing changes anymore. But there's so much more to God than what he has done in the past and what he's doing now. Because he says, I got a new thing to do. Will you behold it? Will you look at it? Something new. And the greatest teacher of this, in my view, is Paul. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, if we may go there, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to take it off from about verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, that I may know him. And then he says, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being present tense, made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And watch this as it goes deeper. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And here it comes. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. And sometimes those things which are behind are not bad things. They're exciting and successful things. And we can be stuck on yesterday's victories. And God is saying, thank me for that, but I have more for you. Amen? I have more for you. Don't get stuck with that. Be thankful. Appreciate it. But press on, because there's more to this than what you are experiencing now. And today I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge everyone that's listening to me. If it is not broken, we can break it so that we can get ahead. Because sometimes it is my thinking that limits me, not God. Not God. The way we think, well, this is good enough. Who said it's good enough? Can it be better? Can we make this better? And making things better doesn't necessarily mean waste. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about appreciating whatever it is that we have, but recognizing that there's more. Look at God. How many kinds of flowers do you have? Wouldn't one kind of flower be enough? How many kinds of grasses do you have? Wouldn't one kind of grass be enough? How many kinds of snowflakes do you have? Won't one be enough? But God says, we can do more. We can do more. We can do better. Everything God does is the best. But he says, we can best the best every time and generate another best. Hallelujah. Now, many times when we think about increase, growth, financially or otherwise, we think the way God is going to bless me financially after I have given an offering is by giving me some more money. But many times that's not how God does it. How God does it is God feeds you with ideas. Let me say that again. Ideas. I'll say it a third time. Ideas. God gives you ideas of what to do, how to do something, what to say, how to say it, and on and on and on and on. And based on ideas, which is your imagination, God begins to image and build a manifestation of that which you see inside. Your imagination may not be the same as the other person. What they see may not necessarily be what you see. And that's why it's important to be, first of all, thankful for what God has shown to you and be certain that you don't share those imaginations, those things God is revealing to you, to other people that will kill it. Because there are enough people who will kill your vision, that will destroy your dreams. And how do they do it? By getting you stuck on a particular place. They have measured you and determined by themselves that this is how far you can go, and this is how far and how much you can accomplish. But God does not think that way. God takes the little and makes much out of it. Hallelujah. He knows your limitation. Look at God. He goes and he wants to deliver Israel. And who does he go look for? He looks for a stammerer. He looks for a stammerer and changes a whole nation based on that. You think you have a handicap? And God thinks, no, no. This is not a disability. This is this ability, a new ability, an ability that spurs you and challenges you and catapults you into a destiny that is not limited based on natural things. He is that kind of a God. And he created us in his image and in his likeness. And he thinks so highly about every single one of us and says, stop measuring yourself based on whatever it is that happened in your past. Be thankful for that and go on. Go on. So many people are stuck on their pains of yesterday. Look at what this person did to me, and look at what that person did to me, and look at what that country did to me, and look at what that government did to me, and look at this, and look at that, and look at, and as long as you stay there dreaming about all the pain and seeking reward from whoever it is that you think hurt you, you will stay there and you will never be anywhere else. Or you can think differently. Well, this is the hand that I've been dealt. I thank God for grace and for mercy because I know this is not right. But God, you are the God who lifts up the lowly. You are the God who raises up the beggar and causes them to sit with kings and princes. I present myself to you. As you lift me up, people will know that God, you did this. I thank you because I have a testimony. I am that testimony. I am going to be that voice that declares, look at how good God is. Rather than dwell in a place, God must hate me. No. Please. This is not that place. It is the devil that wants to keep you down. God wants to elevate. Amen? He wants to elevate us. He wants to do something extraordinary with our lives. And as I look at the world, and as I see people, I see that people that have made it have been people that have had so many challenges too, but did not stay stuck on those challenges. Like Paul, they said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. I must forget the things that are behind. Yes, yesterday's testimony is wonderful, it's exciting, it's amazing, but that must be my launching pad to the next, and 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 to the next. And as long as I keep on stepping, using the level that I am now as my platform to go to the next level, I will see God elevating me step by step by step by step. But when you get stuck in one place, I thank you, Lord, for this place. I thank you, Lord, for this place. I thank you, Lord, for this place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that's all you do. You think you're glorifying God. But no, you have just started disglorifying him. Because you're saying, this is all God can do. This is the best God can accomplish. No. That is never the best. Until you breathe your last breath, there is something God can still do. That's why we don't give up. That's why we don't quit. That's why we don't surrender and say, well, I guess we've done everything that we know how to do, and this is it. Well, let's just stay here and die. There were four lepers. They sat down. The city was sieged. People are eating their children inside the city. And they sat down and said, if we go into the city, we're going to die. If we stay here, we're going to die. We better go even into the enemy's camp. And they started heading that way. What they did not know was that a prophetic word had been declared the day before that food was going to get so cheap. And if they had not made their move, God would have had nothing to amplify. And the miracle that they were about to experience would not have come to pass. Do you understand that maybe God has declared certain prophetic words, and those prophetic words have fallen to the ground because we have not moved on past where we are? And so nothing happens. And we say, well, I guess that's the way it is. It's a lie. There's more. There is more than what I'm experiencing now. And I must never lose sight of that. No matter what the circumstances. You and I must go past whatever the circumstance is and embrace the goodness, the awesomeness of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is more. There is more. In Luke chapter 5, beginning to read from about the 17th verse, the Word of God tells us a story. Tells us about, recaps for us, again also in Mark chapter 2, recaps for us an experience. He says, it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, as the Lord was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. And when they could not find, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, when they could not find by what way, they went upon the housetop. In other words, when they could not find a way, they made a way. When they could not find a way, they made their way. How did they do it? They went upon the housetop. Now, that is not the normal way to get into the house from the housetop on the roof. Who said that is normal? It's not normal. They went on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch. Not just the man, with his entire couch. Can you imagine how big the hole is? Into the mist before Jesus. They looked at every possible way that they could access that house, and there was no way. Now listen, this was not where Jesus was going to stay forever. At some point, he was going to come out of that house and out. But the word of God says the power of God was present to heal. And when the power of God was present to heal, they were not going to wait till another time. The power is present now. We're getting healed now. Hallelujah. And so they forced their way in. They made their way possible. They tore up the tile of the house. And this happens to be the house of Peter's mother-in-law. And can you imagine somebody tearing to Peter's house? Oh my, that's looking for trouble. This is the guy that can cut your ears off. This is the guy that had the audacity to rebuke the Lord. We're talking about that Peter. Rough guy. His mother-in-law's house. You are busy tearing off the roof. For what reason? Careless. They wanted something. The audacity to want something so badly caught God's attention. The lady before him. He says, and when he saw their faith, based on what? Based on their actions. Because they did not quit. They did not give up. They did not say, well, I guess there's too many people. It's not possible. He said unto them, to the man, thy sins are forgiven thee. What sins? The sins of his past and the sins of his present action. The sins of tearing another man's house up open. This sin too, you're forgiven for that one. Amen? Sometimes you've got to be ruthless to get what you got to get. And that's this man right here. That's the woman, the woman with the issue of blood. She is not allowed to hang around people to defile them with her issue of blood. Is that what she's thinking about this very moment? No, I'm getting healed today. I've spent all my money, and this guy's here right now, and you guys are going to hang around him. I'm touching him. I'm touching him today. Afterwards, we can repent about it. But right now, we're getting this miracle. We're going to break forth and get our miracle. That is the audacity for change. Not getting stuck with Mickey Mouse thinking. He's saying, I am thankful, but I know there's more. And do you know what happened? Jesus, our Lord, stopped and said, I perceive virtue just passed away from me. Somebody just took something from me. Can you imagine? Whatever he saw the Father doing, that's what he did. And somebody surprised Jesus. Surprised him. Because this person dared to believe and went past all of the reasons why not. Number one reason, if I get caught by the priest, I'm going to be in trouble. Number two, I'm going to defile all kinds of people with this issue of blood. Number three, I have spent all my money. I won't. If they throw me in jail, there's no way I'm going to be able to get bail. Number four, she can list all kinds of reasons on why not. But she found a reason of why not. She found one reason. I can get healed. And I'm going to get healed. And that's happening today. I can talk about the excuses later. But right now, I'm getting healed. And she got her healing. She got it. Jesus said, somebody touched me. Come on, why are you talking foolish? Everybody's been touching you. No. Somebody touched me differently. Somebody decided that their state was not going to be where they stay anymore. That something has to change today. In John chapter 5, there's a man who's paralyzed. I believe it was for 38 years. Jesus comes to him and decides to heal him and says, you want to get well? And man begins to give excuses. God heals him. But the remarkable thing is there were so many other people that were by that pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy. There's so many other people that remained in that state because their minds were stuck on the old ways of doing things. The old way was the waters get troubled and whoever steps into it gets healed. But this day, Jesus is doing something new. And they were so still stuck in their old ways that they didn't see the new thing happening. And so many times, that's where we lose it. We're stuck on old patterns. We celebrate the old ways and never open our eyes to see the new thing God is doing right now. My prayer is that you and I, as individuals, us as a corporate body, the Church of Jesus Christ, will begin to recognize that God is not stuck in old patterns, that he has new things that he's doing every day. His message has never changed. But the way he does what he does is always new. Just look at the Bible and see how many ways Jesus healed the blind. It's not one way. But we want to corral everybody to one way of doing things. This is the only way to do it. No, there's not one way. You know how many people, how many marriages have fallen apart because one person thinks this is the way that it gets done. And if somebody else is doing it another way, oh, that's the bad way. Chill. Let them do it the way they are doing it. You get the same result. Isn't it the result you want? So why do you want to kill each other? Because of that. Churches split because of the call of the carpet. After a while, you forget about the carpet. Why are you going to kill each other because of that? Oh, well, you know, the way we do things is like this. Listen, I know, baptism is by immersion. I know that. I believe that. But if you're in a place where there's not much water, to immerse somebody, sprinkling we do. Because it's not about whether you dip the person inside, it's whether the person is dipped in the realm of the Spirit, totally surrendered to God. So stop giving me all kinds of reasons we fight about. Or is it by sprinkling? Or is it by pouring? Or is it by immersion? It's baptism. Dead with Christ, risen with Christ, ascended with Christ. Do you believe it? Yes, sir. Okay. If it's just a dab of water, praise the Lord, you're baptized. But if you have lots of water, just lots of water, don't go start sprinkling and pouring and dabbing with water when you've got lots of water here. No. You do what is necessary, but get it done. Get it done. Amen? Hallelujah. Basically, what I'm saying to us is this. Don't get stuck. The way I used to say to you is, never peek. Don't peek. It's not necessary to peek. Once you peek, you start dropping. And as a body of Christ, we must reject any mindset that wants us to peek and think this is it. No, there's no this is it. Not with God. Because when you think this is it, there is another level. And there is another level, and there is another level, and there is another level. It's like opening the onion. One dimension after the other. One dimension after the other. That's what God has for us. So, let's unleash ourselves from the leash of limitation that makes us think we have arrived. Paul says, no. It's not like I'm perfect, but he also says, I'm perfect. He believes he's perfect now, but then says, it's not like I'm perfect, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I press. There is more, there is more, there is more. The quitting attitude will cause us to compromise. Well, you know, speaking in tongues was for the day of Pentecost, and then God quit. Miracles quit. But the power of the devil is still present. And that's how churches die. Because we get stuck and think, this is all God can do. No, no, no. That's not all God can do. Look at him. One day, with the sound of the trumpet, it's not just one person that is dead that's going to rise from the dead. Billions of people all at once. Because God has that capacity. He has that capacity. It's not just lay hands on the sick and they recover. He sends his word and he healed them. Mass healings. Praise the Lord. I remember the day the Lord spoke to me. I was doing a meeting somewhere in South America. And I've told you the story about how it was that God said to me when I was in India, I don't need your prayers. Just tell the people it's testimony time, which is basically it's Thanksgiving time. And I wondered, how was this going to happen? And told me, listen, You can pray, or you can believe that I sent my word and I healed them. And so I believed that, I received it, and I worked with it, and sure enough, cut a long story short, miracles happened. And went from that state to the state where he said to me, okay, now you don't need to preach the word. Now I want you to believe me as soon as you come in, before you preach the word, I want you to say to the people, you're healed. And then that started happening. And then he took me to the next stage. He said, now I want you to believe that as soon as you come into the room, the people are healed. I said, how does that work? And he said to me, is sickness darkness? I said, yes. He says, are you light? I said, yes. When the light comes, what does darkness do? I said, darkness leaves. So I said to you, as soon as you come in, believe that they are healed without you saying anything. I said, so here I was, and I walked in, and I said to the people, it's done already. She came here sick. As soon as I came in, you healed. Who got healed? And there were the hands. Huh. I said, wow. I could have been in stage one. If you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. They will get better. Or I can go to the next stage and believe that God we heal them when I say or preach the word, or go to the stage of when I come and I say, you are healed, it is done. Or now this stage of just come in, it is done. Now all of that is finished. And he showed me that it was possible. Now it is left for me to continue walking in the integrity of that word for it to happen. Whatever stage I get stuck in is the stage that I will see the manifestation in. That's it. If I get stuck in the stage of I lay hands on the sick and they recover, that's where we will be stuck. If I stay stuck in the stage of you preach the word of God first, then they will be healed, that's the stage I'll get stuck at. If I move on to the stage of just say they are healed, that's the stage I'll get stuck at. Or if I go on to say, if as soon as I come in, it is done, then that's the stage I'll get stuck at. I was in a city not too long ago, and at the end of the service, this sister comes to me and says, when I came into the church, I had not seen you. Well, when I came into the church, I knew you were in the church. I said, how did you know? He said, the presence of God in you reached out and touched me where I was. I said, you might be this, or you may have picked up on something. And I know it to be true because many years ago, I was in Minneapolis. Dear brother, son of the Most High God, Brother Benny Hinn, Pastor Benny Hinn, was having a crusade. And we're worshiping. My eyes are closed. As soon as he stepped on the stage, I knew. As soon as his face came into the stage, my eyes were closed. I knew because the atmosphere changed. I opened my eyes and there he was, just stepping in. So you carry an atmosphere. It is the same kind of atmosphere that Peter was carrying when the sick were being healed. He didn't touch them. His shadow. So where is the limit that we can place on God? Well, this is how God does it. You got to have hands laid on you. I'm saying for me, for you, we've got to break all of those limitations and take off the limits off of God and say, God, you're God. You're everywhere present. Do your thing. I thank you that you are God. That's all I have to say for tonight. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, those of you listening online, I trust that the Word of God has reached you, and as it has reached us here in the service, I pray that God's grace will abound towards every one of us, that we'll take every limit off of God and let God be God in our lives. Let us be thankful for the very moment that we are in now, but recognize that there is more to what God wants to do than what you are experiencing now. Be thankful for your little, but know that there is an expectation of greater hope, hope, hope for that. Pursue after it, receive it, and be fulfilled in every area of your life. Amen. Be blessed and be highly favored. We look forward to seeing you next Friday for the prayer service. As you very well know, Wednesday Bible studies have been preempted for now, and we'll only have meetings on Wednesdays when God has given directives to do so, as we did last Wednesday when we had the special service for children. And if you have not seen that broadcast, I'll encourage you to go online and check on the archives, download the Glory and Peace app on your Android or iOS iPhone, and download all the messages and listen to them and be blessed by it. Be blessed and be highly favored. See you next Friday. Love you. Honor God with your giving. Let's honor God with our giving. In Jesus' name.